Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet.
Hey, hey, and a happy Tuesday. I'm George Savarikas, sitting alongside Damon Hack here with you for the next 2 hours on Golf Today. I love this part of the summer, not just because the weather's great. You can tee it up basically anywhere in the U.S. Seemingly every week on the golf calendar is a major week. We have two that we're looking at, in the Senior Open, the Amundi Evian Championship. And for the women's game, I mean, it's a big stretch where they had the KPMG last month, the U.S. Women's Open here, and then they have the Women's Open coming up next month, the AIG Women's Open. You just love where the women's game is at with so many big events in this row of 8 to 10 weeks.
Love the summertime and the professional game. We get to practice our French accents this week if we'd like. Of course, France bordering Switzerland, beautiful part of the world in the mountains. We're going to talk to Karen Stupples later about kind of the test that the players will face in this fourth of five major championships on the LPGA Tour schedule. It's a fantastic time of the year.
Might be the best food of any major week, but close.
It's pretty good. Pretty good indeed.
All right, so let's take a look at what you need to know on this Tuesday. Like I mentioned, the LPGA heading overseas for the fourth of five women's majors to be contested in 2022. The Amundi Evian Championship begins Thursday at Evian Resort in Evian, France. This became an official LPGA Tour event back in 2000, a major in 2013. Look at the past five champions of this event, dating back to 2017. Past four, because we had the COVID hiatus in 2020, Minji Lee defending champ, Jin Young Ko won in 2019, won two majors in 2019. It was Angela at Stanford in 2018, and Anna Nordqvist, who's a three-time major champ, won the Evian in 2017. Let's dig into those final round highlights from a year ago. And I mean, we thought Cam Smith's Sunday 64 at the Old Course was impressive. How about what Minji Lee did at the Evian a year ago on Sunday, matching that?
No lead is safe in professional golf outside of the Tiger Woods category. Tee shot at the par 3, 16, sticks it to just a few feet, makes birdie, takes the lead at 17 under.
Then Lee on the par 4, 17th. This par putt, and this was a huge momentum putt, knocks it in. Ooh. She stays in the lead, setting up the par 5 18th, which can be reachable into with a good tee shot, but she laid there into little wedge work into the green.
How about this beautiful third shot, setting up a crucial look at birdie, lines it up.
And that's how you finish out a round for a 64.
Knock it down
to get in the house. But Jung-un Lee 6, birdie 16, 17, 18 to force a playoff. In the playoff, this statement, Minji Lee trying to get home in two just carries the penalty area.
That gamble paying off, especially because of Lee 6 dumping her second into the water. So three putts to win for Minji. Just slips out for eagle, caps off that amazing comeback with a tap in birdie and a major champ.
The hypothetical, could you get home in three from 10 feet? That I think you could pull off.
I think I'd be okay. Could you hold a three-shot lead going into the final hole?
On that final green, if I had Minji Lee getting it there in two, and you see what, I mean, Minji Lee was able to do at the U.S. Women's Open at Pine Needles.
Keeping it going, huh? She really, from that win last year,
new scoring record,
it's just remarkable. Some people think this is who she's always been. Jane Crafter from Australia as well thought that kind of pound for pound as an amateur, that she had the talent kind of equal to Lydia Ko. Maybe we're starting to see that pay off now.
We heard this yesterday from Luke Elvey, who hopped on the program. 2013, she won the Aussie Women's Amateur. Cam Smith won the 2013 Aussie Men's Amateur, thinking that those would be the two golf prodigies that would make that huge step as major champions, and that's what we've seen out of Minji Lee.
That best cumulative score to par in the majors in 2022, I mean, minus 24? I mean, that is a historic run that she's been on. So I guess the question is that right now, I mean, the Rolex ranking does not say she's the best player in the world, but do you think she's the best player in the world?
It's a good question. I would say that she is on the best hot streak right now.
The heat index for her.
The heat index is the highest. I would still say Jin Young Ko, when she is at her best. Like, on the men's side, we always say, who is the best player when they're playing their
best? Right, like Rory.
Like, I think Jin Young Ko has the most firepower
when she is dialed in with her iron play.
Which she's not right now.
She is not, but you look at the recent run.
Okay.
She has four top 25 finishes her last five starts. Only one outside the top 25 was the KPMG Women's PGA. She's one under going in the final round, shoots a 77, finishes T30. She has two top fives in that span. So there's been a lot of good golf, pretty good to good golf.
Yeah.
Not great to the level we saw last year when
yeah.
she won five times. But I think if you throw out that final round at the KPMG Women's PGA, she's been pretty consistent.
Throw it out. This isn't some member guest.
But I mean, she has one bad round. Like,
yes.
You're going to have a bad round.
She's not playing to the level she did last year. And
correct.
She's not playing to the level of Minji Lee right now, who in her last five starts has three top twos. Including two wins,
including
a second major, including a Founders Cup, including a runner-up
best
at the KPMG.
She's on the best heater right now for the last 2 months.
Yeah.
I will give you that. But I do think Jin Young Ko, if she's on, that I think she can – she's in the top spot for a reason
yeah.
because of the body of work.
Well, it's so cool that this week is happening now because Jin Young Ko has won on this golf course.
Yeah.
Minji Lee is the defending champion on this golf course.
Last two champions
exactly. So
on this golf course.
Maybe this is the week – that they settle it. But I do think that Minji Lee has found something. I saw Minji Lee, by the way, at the Masters tournament this year. She was okay. following her brother, Min Woo.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to speak to her since then. I kind of wonder, just when you have your sibling that's playing golf at a high level also, and I think she's coming to her own, obviously of her own accord, kind of increasing driving distance that we've seen, kind of Matthew Fitzpatrick style, mm-hmm. adding some length off the tee. But she has just gotten more and more comfortable in the heat. To see the way she pulled away from the field at Pine Needles, she has firepower, she has confidence, she has momentum. And I think right now, as we sit on this Tuesday in July, she is the best player in the women's game. Because Jin Young Ko, in her last eight starts, has three top tens, no wins. Nelly Korda, of course, coming off of this blood clot, still finding her feet, which I think she ultimately will. But right now, no one in the game, I believe, in the women's side is playing better golf than me.
Yeah, I would say the last 2 to 3 months, she is playing the best.
Right.
So the numbers don't lie when you just look
yes.
at the recent run that she's been on. And what impresses me the most with Minji Lee is that she seems to embrace the big moments.
Right.
There are certain players that shy away from it, certain players that you see them ascend to a level that you didn't know they were capable of.
Yeah.
And I think last year, Sunday at the Evian, she's the chaser, knows she has to go low.
Right.
It's the perfect scenario if you're trying to win a major.
Great point.
For the
yep.
first time.
Yep.
That frees her up.
Yeah.
What she did at Pine Needles, when you have the target on your back and everyone's chasing you,
mm-hmm.
and then she puts that statement on Sunday, it's,
yeah.
oh, okay, now she's ready to ultimately, we both think she's capable of eventually
oh.
being Rolex number.
I do. Especially
that she's
off
on that graph
yeah.
is where she's going.
And because of Nelly Korda's injury, I mean, the thought was this would be the Jin Young Ko, Nelly Korda part two.
It's funny when we write these in December.
Right.
They never seem to turn
no,
out. But it seems so blatantly obvious at the
yeah.
time. Oh, of course, they both won five plus times last year.
Yeah.
It's got to be the next big rivalry in
right.
the women's game. But injuries happen.
Yes.
Loss of form can happen. It's hard
yes.
to maintain that level of greatness in. Like, Steve Sands always asks this question. Is it a hot streak or is it the start of greatness?
I think it's the start of greatness. I really do. You think it's a hot streak?
No, I buy that it's the start of greatness.
Yeah.
I do think that she's capable of maintaining this
yeah.
given the golfing background that she's... It's not like
yeah.
it's some flash in the pan.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's had this pedigree leading
yes.
up to this point, and now I think she's really comfortable in her own skin
yeah.
in the biggest stages in the women's game.
Yeah, and more history to be made this week in the mountains of France. We'll see if Minji Lee can go back-to-back. Coming up, I'm going to head out to TPC Twin Cities, by the way. We'll get a report from Kira K. Dixon at the 3M Open. The PGA Tour season enters the home stretch with the first of three events remaining in the 2021-22 regular season. It's crunch time, ladies and gentlemen.
Golf Today. Brought to you by PointsBet. This season, don't just bet, live your bet life. And WinGrips, the best grips in golf. And Bushnell Golf and the Pro XC, experience the best. Golf Central Update, brought to you by Callaway Golf.
Back on golf today, TPC Twin Cities hosts the fourth playing of the tour's annual event in Minnesota, the 3M Open. When this event debuted in 2019, it became the first regular tour stop in the state in 5 decades. Minnesota native and former world number one Tom Lehman was the player consultant for the layout. TPC Twin Cities, 2 p.m. Thursday. First round coverage kicks off on Golf Channel from Blaine, Minnesota. Then after this week, the Rocket Mortgage Classic and the Wyndham Championship are the only events that will remain on the PGA Tour's regular season schedule.
It always sneaks up.
It does. It's like,
what? Regular season.
I'm just getting warm, baby.
Just getting started.
Right? Exactly.
Oh. All right, so with more on what's at stake for the players this week, let's welcome in our Kira K. Dixon. What's on the line?
Well, there's a lot on the line this week, George. First of all, it's a beautiful week here in the Twin Cities. I got my Beyonce wind machine on, so I'm very excited about the week ahead. And it's also an opportunity for players to move up in those FedEx Cup standings, trying to get into that coveted top 125. And that could be a bit stressful for those that find themselves on the bubble. I spoke with some of those players to see how much they're thinking about it going into play on Thursday.
I just need to go play some good golf. Kind of been a long time coming, but no, like I said, I feel really good coming into this stretch. So looking forward to this week, being in Detroit next week with Rocket Mortgage. And then we'll kind of make a decision if we play or if we need to play Greensboro.
I've been thinking about it for sure. It was one of my goals this year, so obviously thinking about it and getting closer to it. And then you have the people who have gone to live who are still on the list, so thinking about that as well. So. If I'm being honest, yes, I am thinking about it, trying not to think about it at the same time, but I'm human, I guess, so I'm definitely thinking about it, but I want to try and just kind of take each shot as it comes and each hole and each day as it comes to me, so yeah.
You know, it does. Obviously, we're all human. We think about what we have to do. There's no doubt it's on our minds, but I feel ready. I feel like my game is as good as it's ever been. So I'm just focused on playing golf and doing the best I can out in between those ropes.
You know, I think we all know where we stand. But when we're out there playing, we're not thinking about it. We're just trying to do as well as we can in that moment or in that tournament as we can and just look at it at the end. It's in the back of your mind, but you're not really focused on it in that moment.
You heard Ricky in the beginning of the sound say that he's feeling really confident about his game right now. He said he had a great time in Ireland, got to spend some time with friends like Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas, and then played well at the Genesis Scottish Open, just couldn't quite take advantage on the weekend. But he is back here ready to take advantage of this opportunity. He's got his family in tow with him. And Damon, I know you'll appreciate this. His baby girl is 8 months old, and she's currently sleeping from 6:30 to 6:30. So maybe 12 hours of sleep might be just the key that Ricky needs here this week.
All those days when the baby just put on some weight. Sleep, baby, sleep. Great to have Kira K. Dixon in Minnesota for us. And I love that Beyonce call, by the way. I'm still laughing about the wind machine. Cue it. Cue the wind machine, Georgie.
All right, let's take a look at the bubble. We heard from some of the bubble guys. Here's the players right on the number. Steven Yeager's right at 125. Grayson Sig, 126. You see that name? Paul Casey. Currently suspended from the PGA Tour. Indeterminate length of time. So not sure how that will impact the FedEx Cup playoffs. He's on the outside looking in, though.
Yeah.
So you would think he'll remain outside the top 125. But for the players inside the top 125, when they allow more players in, we'll have to discuss with the PGA Tour. But he has not rescinded his PGA Tour membership.
Yeah.
So that's why you still see his name. So looking at the bubble guys, give me a name to watch or a name that you're surprised that is even in the bubble conversation.
I mean, Ricky Fowler, we've been talking about him now for a couple of seasons. 168th in strokes gained putting for a player who I think and others have said has one of the best putting strokes that we've seen over the last decade. Once led the PGA Tour in strokes gained putting. You know, during Southern Hills, he said, I'm happy with how I drove, and he finished tied for 23rd. Happy with my ball striking, happy with my short game. But I just didn't get to see the putts fall. He's fortunate for that T3 finish that he had in the fall
at the
in
CJ
Las
Cup.
Vegas, exactly. But he's been chasing it for so long now. And the early story was, well, he's making these swing changes, and and because of that,
it was the start of COVID. He basically started doing the swing changes.
But it was the inattention to the putting stroke, which is why he's not making any putts. He says no. He says he just has not seen the ball go in the hole. We are talking about someone who, outside of Tiger and Phil, maybe in the last 10 years has been the most commercially successful golfer on the PGA Tour. He is exempt next season because of his players' win and wins in addition, 2022-2023. So it's not about him being in jeopardy of losing his card yet. But I just struggle to see Ricky Fowler on the outside looking in this position in the game, considering what his peers, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, et cetera, think about his game. And they say it's a major championship quality type of game that he has in the bag, just haven't seen it in the last couple of years.
I'd say he's kind of at a crossroads at this stage of his career. Is this going to be one of those just depths where he's able to battle back and it's the resurrection of Ricky in the next year or two? I mean, we've seen Henrik Stenson, Steve Stricker. But
Jordan Spieth?
But Stenson and Stricker were more like driver yips related, where Ricky's just a collective loss of form.
And
like,
confidence.
Correct.
And the putter, it's mind-boggling to me. Someone who was an aggressive putter a la Tom Watson, not afraid to run it five feet past and make the comebacker. To see him in this station chase, and this is someone who's won the Players, won the Scottish, you know, won in the play. I mean, he has a strong resume, but he continues to be on the outside looking in, and now literally on the outside of that bubble.
Yeah, and so when I say he's at a crossroads, is he going to find it in the next year or two? Does he keep going down the same track and saying, okay, my dedication to what I'm doing is ultimately going to yield results?
Right.
Is he going to have to retool? Is this going to be a year or two down the road where it's just continues down this path where it's, man, what could have been?
Yeah.
I would have thought his 30s would have been the next step to potentially win a major,
right,
and it's going the complete opposite direction. The name that I'm looking at is a former world number one.
Okay.
Remember, his last win on the PGA Tour was another Players champion. Last win on the PGA Tour, 2018, Wells Fargo, and he had won twice that season.
I think I know where you're going.
Torrey Pines, Wells Fargo, and I'm doing the interview. Was, okay, is this a statement? He said, I not only want to be a top five player, I want to be world number one, and that's Jason Day. Now he's a 120th in the FedEx Cup.
Yeah.
And it's just in the last 2 to 3 years, it's kind of been injury and trying to change his swing, and he had back problems.
Yeah.
And just his style of play, you didn't think was conducive to lasting long term. That's what we always
100%.
Heard the live from guys say in the 2015 run and during his apex when he won five times and won the 2015 PGA. I don't know if this swing will last 5, 10.
Yes.
15 years. And he didn't have that other gear with the wedges, like a pitcher who can throw off speed.
Right.
He's starting to get a little more of that, but you just wonder, okay, well, how long is this loss of form going to persist? And he's another guy, when he was playing his best, he's one of the best putters. It could putt the eyes out of
absolutely.
He's one of the best putters in the world. Hasn't been putting to the same level, and a hot putter can solve a lot of other ails in your golf game. I think he had like negative ball striking numbers the week that he won at Quail Hollow because he was such a hot putter. So that's a guy that I'm just surprised that he's fallen to this point, and you're not seeing really many glimmers of positivity to think there's a turnaround coming soon.
Jason, much like Tiger Woods, can't practice as much as he used to. His body won't allow it. And you mentioned the storyline of live froms and others in the last decade about how hard he was swinging. I stood behind Jason Day and Tiger Woods at Bay Hill one year, and it was during the first or second round, and they were having, in my view, a driving contest. I mean, they were swinging so hard. And I was like, this is like me watching, you know, I used to be an NFL reporter, and you're on the sidelines, and then, you know, when you're sanitized in that, you know, press box, you can't really feel the power of those tackles. And standing behind Tiger and Jason Day when they're, you know, kind of mentor and mentee in trying to hit it past the other guy, I had the same thought. How sustainable is it, especially the way Jason Day was going after those drives? And here we are now. He just can't put in the time anymore. Sometimes it's even practicing putting. He told me one year on the practice wing at Arnold Palmer that he, even being in this position when you're practicing your putting can put stress on his back.
It's the hidden reps that people don't see that can turn a player from good to great or great to utterly elite. And even Cam Smith mentioned an extra 20 minutes a day.
Yeah.
He used to be, quote, lazy.
Right.
He added 20 more minutes to practice, and now he's won three times this season, and he's a major champion. But physically, when your body starts breaking down, and Bryson DeChambeau's had to deal with this, and I think Brooks Koepka to some degree, not that he had like a voracious appetite for beating balls on his off weeks necessarily, but his body's starting to break down also, then you can't get yourself ready to the same degree that you did when you were one of the best in the world.
Absolutely. There's the physical aspect of it, and there's the mental aspect of it also. Can you put in the mental reps year after year and hold yourself to that standard to be a Tiger, a Jack, a Brady, a Manning? I mean, that's hard to do year after year.
And it's such a slippery slope, because when your body starts changing, then you subconsciously make adjustments that you don't realize is starting to infect your swing.
Right.
And then mentally you start to second guess yourself. Okay, I can't move like I did 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
And then there can be a crisis of confidence.
For sure.
And it's just because your body's been adjusting to the back pain.
Yeah.
Because of how Jason or other guys have been attacking the ball for 5-10 years.
Important week for Ricky Fowler and Jason Day. We'll see if they can find a little heat.
Who's more likely, do you think, to find it?
I'm going to say Ricky. I'm going to say Ricky. I just think I'm less worried about him from a physical standpoint. I mean, Jason Day, and he has had to at times withdraw mid-tournament. The pain has been so severe. So I'm going to say
probably lean Ricky as well. On the same wavelength.
We'll check back. How about the major championship season? It's over. Scottie Scheffler woke up Sunday not sure he could handle it. Handle it with a bomb, I would say. Justin Thomas made up a 7-shot deficit in the final round. It was 8 at one point. Got it done in the playoff. Matt Fitzpatrick, the fairway bunker shot, said it was a weakness in his game.
He owns the
Sunday. Absolutely. And then Cam, you want to talk about a Sunday at the old course, etching his name on the claret jug.
What do these guys all have in common?
I guess they're in their 20s. Is that right? How about that?
Youth movement afoot.
It's first time, like, ever, right? I mean, you think Tiger, but, like, you know, you know, a Vijay went in there,
well, I was
or
thinking
Phil
the
win.
Closest 25 years ago. Tiger wins the Masters. Ernie wins the U.S. Open. Our colleague Justin Leonard wins the Open. They were all in their 20s, but DL3 won the PGA. It was in its 30s.
Under the rainbow at Wingfoot. Got us to thinking kind of some major superlatives to kind of hand out. Like, the biggest, breakout star, do you want to say? Was there a breakout star in your mind?
Let's tee you up first.
Who do you Me have? First?
Yeah,
okay.
I'll give you the honors. Who do you got for your breakout
star? I'm going Cam Smith. I mean, you add a claret jug in the fashion that he did to your player's Golden Man trophy and your
Golden Boy
Century Tournament of Champions. But you do it on the 150th, and the signage was everywhere, including on 18, the grandstands. It said, everything has come down to this. And every seat in that grandstand was full, and nearly every gallery member cheering for Rory. And here is the young man from Queensland, I guess we call it, in down under, and he birdies 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. It's a remarkable run to break the hearts of the golf fan around the world that wanted Rory McIlroy, and to do it in that fashion, a final round 64, historic round of golf, the up and down at 17. We'll talk about it forever. I think he is the breakout star. And he also has the mullet. He has this kind of understated personality.
Mullet envy, I get it.
I do have that. The party in the back, he has it. So I think you want to talk about star. I think it was a transcendent performance from Cam Smith.
I would say the guy who beat Cam Smith is my breakout star. That would be Scottie Scheffler.
Beat him at the Masters.
Exactly. You gave me the eyebrow there.
Like, where's he going?
I think Scottie Scheffler is a star in golf circles. There's a prodigious amount of talent, but he is such a chill, kind of humble personality, saying in his off weeks he just wants to mow the lawn
and
kind of relax. So I don't think he's going to cross the threshold to where he's a pop culture type star. That's not really his personality.
It's not.
But his game is going to be around for a long time. And I think he's going to be a stalwart inside the top 5 or top 10 in the world golf rankings. So he would be my breakout star. And those guys are 1-2 in the world rankings and 1-2 in the FedEx
Cup. Smith, Scheffler. How about surprise? Biggest surprise, maybe, from
my biggest surprise was again, I hearken back to December, January. We were saying, all right, it's going to be John Rahm and Colin Morikawa, maybe throw in Dustin Johnson, Patrick Cantlay, who is the reigning FedEx Cup champion, the big four, the top four in the world golf rankings.
Right.
Those are the guys that are the biggest storyline in the majors. You're going to get at least one, maybe two majors out of that bunch. And they were an offer. And not only were they a no-show, they didn't even really contend. Like,
yeah,
DJ a little bit.
Brooks Koepka, where
are
you?
Yeah, Brooks Koepka, like it's the Tony Finau where you be now.
Right.
Same with Brooks Koepka. I mean, those guys were just complete non-entities. I mean, Brooks did not even crack the top 50 at all and have two missed cuts was a shock to me. What was your biggest surprise?
I'm going to go back to February of 2021 in Tiger Woods, and we had to report on that story of the car crash, you know, at this desk and at that desk beside us to see that he competed in three of four major championships, making the cut in two of three. I think it's a remarkable reminder of just how strong Tiger Woods is mentally, physically, emotionally, that at age 46 still wants to put his body, his game back together under the test against the best players in the world. Don't want to take it for granted. What he did was a surprise. His possibility of losing a leg, he said, was 50-50, could have lost his life in February of 2021. To hear the sounds I heard at Augusta and at the old course, we were all surprised and I think thankful that he still wants to do that. That's my biggest surprise.
And I was shell-shocked that he made the cut at the Masters and at the PGA as well. So the surprise, he was able to play and even able to compete and make cuts was a surprise for me.
You got an unforgettable moment, an image that stands out?
Well, if there's a guy that you just mentioned who just had a walk.
Cam Smith enjoying it?
No, Tiger different Woods, walk. Smoking Bridge.
Okay.
I know he did the head fake, and he kind of gave you the hat tip, so the crowd had something to cheer for, and you at least got the picture.
Didn't stop, though.
But the picture will make it look like he stopped.
Right.
But he barely even paused and then just kept it going. So that to me, was the best moment. Rory tipping the cap. Tiger getting teary-eyed and emotional with the walk. Noticing Joey, Matt Fitzpatrick, and Max Homa staying behind him. I mean, and he's saying that could be the final walk. I don't want it to be, but it could be at the old course.
On Friday, we were all like, you know, hey, is he gonna stop? I mean, that was the big question, you know, $5 he stops. You know,
like
that kind
bet.
Of thing.
Like,
it was like a prop bet, and he didn't. He took the hat off, didn't stop. I mean, it reminds us that he says he's not done. You know, he's not done. He believes there's more work to do, and we love him. For that. We love him for his competitive spirit.
I don't think he's ever going to be wired to the point where he says, this is my last one. It's once he's done, then I think he'll say, you know what?
Yeah.
It's over. It was a good run, and I've given the game all that I have to give. Hopefully that there's still more for an encore.
Good one and a great major championship season in the men's game. And speaking of majors, stay with us because we're gearing up for the fourth women's major of the season, the Amundi Evian Championship. Our pal Karen Stupple, some call her Stups, she's a major champ, joins with her key storylines to watch this week. We've been off to a fantastic start. I tell you what, we talked about it last hour, just how thankful we are for the amount of stories we have to talk about. The U.S. Adaptive Open is an inaugural event, the USGA's 15th national championship.
Could it be a better spot at Pinehurst?
I mean, it's the cradle of American golf. I think I said that in one of our highlights earlier today. You've got the Evian this week, the Amundi Evian Championship. We're closing the books on the major championship season in the men's game, but still lots to play for as well.
Yeah, and don't forget, we have the Senior Open as well.
That's Glenn Eagles. Three
consecutive majors on the PGA Tour Champions schedule. Always neat to see where the Senior Open goes.
Yeah.
Part of their rota the week after the Open. You get to see some courses that you don't always see as part of, obviously, the Open rota.
Yeah, quick humble brag. You know, back in the day, I did the Irish, Scottish, and Open in a row, and then somebody, you know, somebody caught wind of it, you know.
They said, come on home.
Yeah, let's end that thing. But you're right. I mean, going overseas and, you know, some of the players, some of our reporters will be there for a couple weeks bringing those great pictures from the U.K.
All right, let's take a look at the major review. We already did that on the men's side.
Yep.
Now on the women's side, what it's unfolded so far is back in April, Jennifer Kupcho made the leap into Poppy's Pond. She claimed her first ever LPGA Tour victory. And, oh, by the way, major victory at the Chevron Championship. Two-shot win, finishing at 14 under for the week. closing out a great 50-year run they had in the California desert. So then in June, Minji Lee ran away with the title at the U.S. Women's Open at Pine Needles. Four-stroke victory. She took home $1.8 million, the largest payout in the history of women's golf, also setting a scoring record that week. And then later that month, at Congressional, In-G Chun became a three-time major champion, shot a record-tying 64 day one of the KPMG Women's PGA Championship, and was able to hold on for the victory.
Three, man.
Very deserving major champion. So
did hold on, right? I mean, that was quite a week for In-G Chun. And we're not done. Season continues. LPGA overseas for the fourth of five women's majors to be played in 2022. The Amundi Evian Championship begins Thursday at Evian Resort Golf Club, Evian-les-Bains, France. This became an official LPGA Tour event in 2000 and a major in 2013. See the coverage time right there, 5 a.m. Eastern, first round on Golf Channel, and continues at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. Now let's take a look at the scoring, you know, average compared to some of the other majors. The lowest score compared to the other four majors. 14
you get some excitement
under.
This week. If you like birdies,
volatility.
Yeah, you have a par 5 18th you can get home in two.
Yes. What we're trying to say is birdies are available in the mountains of France. Our colleague and 2004 AIG Women's Open champion Karen Stupples joins us now. Stups, great to see you. We've watched this event for more than 20 years. It's been a major since 2013, and we've seen various styles rewarded. What is the key to playing well here in your mind?
Well, I mean, I think that's quite the puzzle, to be honest with you. As you said, there have been so many different styles rewarded with the different kinds of winners that we've seen on this course. But one of the biggest things that stands out in my mind is that this golf course is set on the side of a mountain. So you're never going to get a flat lie. You're going to have the ball's going to be above your feet quite significantly a lot of times. It's going to be below your feet a lot of the times. So playing those awkward lies with your approach shots is going to be key. There are some fairly undulating greens out there too. So being in the right place on the greens is going to be pretty important for making a lot of birdies, because typically a low score wins around here.
Minji Lee, the defending champion at the Amundi Evian Championship. And last year, her performance on Sunday was spectacular, to even play her way into the playoff. I felt like that week was a precursor to the rise she's had this season. What's impressed you the most?
Well, I think it's been a slow rise for Minji. She was on the same kind of level as Lydia Ko when they were both amateur golfers. But Lydia Ko obviously took off very quickly. But it's taken Minji a little bit longer to kind of find her feet. But when you look at Minji Lee's golf right now, I mean, it's just off the charts ball striking. She hits the ball close a lot of the times, and her putting has been a big improvement. And one of the things that she did last year, she went to left-hand low on this golf course and around here, and that made all the difference in the world for her. And she's been able to continue that through the whole season into this season. And, of course, she's exploded as well. Major champion at Evian, and now U.S. Women's Open champion as well. But her whole game just travels. She's very cool, calm, and collected. She's a proven competitor. She likes to win. But her ball striking is just off the charts.
Well, the same words could be used to describe Nelly Korda, former world number one. She's played solidly since her return from a blood clot, Karen. But how close do you think she is to winning again?
I think any time you talk about Nelly Korda, I think you have a potential for her to go ahead and seize a victory. She came very close at Maya, where she finished tied for second. And I think everybody felt like she was going to win that week, but she didn't quite pull it out. She is super competitive when it comes to wanting to get the job done. I know she has to be a little bit frustrated that things haven't gone according to plan this year for her. But you can't keep that kind of talent down for too long. I think it's just a matter of time. And whether it's this week or at the AIG Women's Open at Muirfield, either one would be a win-win for her, I think.
Karen, you could say every major has its own identity and personality. You've experienced the game's biggest stages around the world. How would you describe what Evian is like?
It's a very different kind of major because of the history that it has. I remember playing this event when it was just a more sort of selected field. It wasn't a full field. There was no cut. You went out and played. There was a big festive party atmosphere to it in a very kind of French stylish kind of way. And some of that vibe still rolls through into it as a major. It's a bigger field. There is a cut. The players have a number of difficulties that they have to face when they're playing here. The driving range isn't at the same place that they tee off from. So you have to negotiate your timings. So it's a little bit tougher because of some of the hurdles that you have to jump up and over as now it's a major. But the vibe still continues. That sort of that party, very stylish, very elegant feel to it that Evian have always had. And now with Amundi as a sponsor, the money's increased. And just in general, it feels like a cooler vibe than some of the other majors.
Stylish party sounds like Damon Hack here.
That party, maybe when I was 20, not so much now. I want to ask you about Jin Young Ko. I mean, she's played well this season. She's won this season, but she's been a little cool of late. She's put a lot of pressure on herself, I think, to win a third major championship. How would you describe her season so far?
I think obviously she's disappointed with it, and I think we all have expected so much more from her given how many greens in regulation that she normally hits. So when you look at the numbers, the ball striking is down, she's not hitting as many greens, she's not having as many opportunities. But let's face it, I mean, golf is a hard game at the best of times, and you're going to go through those peaks and troughs. And it doesn't take an awful lot for her to find a bit of rhythm and a bit of form for her to be back on track. But it's just all about getting the ball on the green for her and being consistent. And I feel like not only from her does she put a lot of pressure on herself, but the whole country of Korea expects Jin Young Ko to go ahead and perform week in, week out. And when she's not winning, I think everybody is a little disappointed. I think much like we all felt when Rory McIlroy didn't win last week.
Steps, do you have a name that could surprise us this week and that could be positive or negative?
I have a couple of names. I mean, this field seems this week to be wide open. And anytime I look at trying to pick a winner for this week, there's so many different people that could actually come out from the pack. Lynn Grant, I mean, she went ahead and won the Scandinavian mixed event in grand style. She's playing well. Maya Stark plays on the Ladies European Tour. She's another Swede who has been playing phenomenal golf this year. Pia Babnik from Slovenia. She's a player that is one that is supremely talented. We've seen her come into form a little bit on the LPGA Tour as well. So all of these players could come out and stake their claim on that leaderboard. But the one name that I can't get away from this week is Hye-jin Choi. She has been putting herself into position, and I honestly feel like she is long overdue for a win.
Karen, one of the big stories this season has been the increased purses, visibility for the LPGA Tour. How much of a talking point has that been among the players and the recognition of this kind of turning point in 2022?
I think that all the players in general feel that there is a value to that has been finally realized to the work and the effort that they're putting in on the golf course and their time when they're practicing. They've put in the same amount of time and effort that the men do for their game. They're sacrificing so much to put themselves in these spots that when you have major companies coming forward and saying, look, we think you deserve a whole lot more, so we're going to give it to you. All of a sudden, you're like, yes, you know, finally, I'm being rewarded for all this work that I'm putting in. I feel valued. I feel respected for what I'm doing. And that creates an environment where the players can really excel and feel good about what they're doing. And I think that's a very healthy thing for the players in general. And it's an exciting time because they can make a good living. They can improve their games. They can look at where they are in the world and look at the future and what they can save for because of these increased purses and the money that they're playing for.
Karen, I know you immerse yourself in analytics. Damon, I mean, she's one of those type of minds where she can dig deep. So yeah. I'm curious, our colleagues, Grant Boone and Tom Abbott, will be on the call. How many combined desserts do you think they'll have this week at the Evian?
Well, Tom has already had one. I saw him have one at lunch today. Unfortunately, Grant won't be here, but he's gonna be having his scoop of ice cream back there at home in Texas. Terry Gannon will have to pick up the slack for him.
I was gonna say, it's a big week for Terry. That I know. Last year, Grant was having a lot, so those are big shoes to fill.
I think Terry's going to go back with a couple of with an extra pant size needed when he gets back to the States.
You love to hear it. You love to hear it.
Yeah.
Thanks
exactly.
So much, Stubbs. Hey, have a great time. I'm jealous. I love the French desserts as well. So pace yourself. We'll speak to you soon.
I will do. Croissants are my favorite. Thank you.
to top France in the summertime.
Oh, my goodness. Who are you telling?
You're a well-traveled man. That'd be right in your wheelhouse. This week, that's where the LPGA is heading overseas for the fourth of five women's majors to be played in 2022. The Amundi Evian Championship begins Thursday at Evian Resort in Evian-les-Bains, France. This became a major nearly a decade ago. It was back in 2013 was the first time this event was a major championship. A look at who will be on the mic tomorrow on Golf Channel.
Okay.
2016 Evian champion Inji Chun, Nelly Korda, world number three. Be curious her thoughts and expectations coming into a major this week. Celine Boutier, leading French player, world number 23, and the defending champion Minji Lee, all the way up to world number two.
Yeah, Celine will be answering questions in French and in English. Time now, folks, for news and notes. Welcome in our own Paige McKenzie. Paige, always great to see you. The fourth major of the season has arrived for the women's circuit. You've noticed a trend with our 2022 major champs and their play in the Evian Championship in the past. What should we know?
Yeah, if you're looking at players to keep an eye on this week, you don't have to look much further than the three major champions that we've had so far this season. Obviously, Jennifer Kupcho won the Chevron and then went on to win two more events coming off of a win at the Dow Great Lakes Bay Invitational with her partner, Lizette Salas. Well, if you go back to 2019, she finished runner-up here, and that was significant in her career at the time. She had just turned pro after graduating college, had deferred her LPGA membership, so it was a shortened LPGA season for her to try to retain or maintain her card for the following year. It was done so because of that second place finish in 2019. And then Minji Lee, obviously the defending champion here in 2021 and coming off of the win at the US Open this year. And then when you go look at Inji Chun, I find this to be very interesting. She won here in 2016, set a scoring record, had already won the US Open in 2015. So you're looking at a two-time major champion. Her world ranking went all the way to the third in the world at a certain point and precipitously has dropped off over the last several years. And then this year, when she went on to win the KPMG Women's PGA Championship, she had a conversation with her coach the week prior, talking about her desire levels. He questioned it. He said, if this is too much for you, if all of the struggles that go along with being a professional golfer are too much, you don't have to play. And she said, but I want to. I don't want to quit. I don't want to go back to Korea. And then rededicated herself that week into just enjoying those moments and, of course, went on to win. So you're looking at a player now who's back inside 11th in the world ranking, who is a now three-time major champion who's also won here. So I'm looking at those three players as players really that are in good form and have a good history here.
It's amazing how much a mindset shift can change things.
Yeah.
Paige, I'm not sure if you heard it. The last segment, Damon was talking about how Teddy Greenstein had called him a sharp.
Yes.
Paige, in my opinion, is
she's the real deal.
She's a sharp, for sure. So one name you have on your list of players to watch this week for the average American golf fan, they may be unfamiliar with them.
Well, it's interesting that you had Karen Stepples on, and she did preview the fact that Maya Stark and Lynn Grant, two players that if you've been watching collegiate golf over the last several years, you would have been familiar with. They both played the NCAA championships last year. They're the top two players on the Ladies European Tour money list. But I'm specifically keeping my eye on Lynn Grant of those two. She's a player that on the European Tour has won three times. The Scandinavian mixed is probably the one that created the most headlines because she went head-to-head against the men and won by nine shots, the first woman to have done that on the European Tour. And these are her last four finishes. You can see the Scandinavian mixed is one of those, but also a third place and a fourth place finish in her last four starts on the Ladies European Tour. So I'm keeping an eye on her. It's her pro debut on the LPGA Tour. So there's going to be some good exposure for her. I anticipate at some point she will jump over and try to qualify for the LPGA Tour because a lot of the greatest Europeans play that, obviously end up doing that. And when you talk about the Teddy Greenstein, I did watch that segment. I did see his bet. I like the Minji Lee at the top 10 for plus 110.
Boom.
But if you're really looking for a good bet, maybe go top 10 Lynn Grant at plus 350.
Oh, now we're talking. Now we're cooking with gas.
You know, I'm very safe with my bet. You know, Paige's got some true knowledge and risky as well. So we know the best players are in the field this week, but the field also has, Paige, you know, a great list of amateurs. How strong is this group?
It's fabulous. And I love that the Evian has done this over the last several years. They invited some of the best amateur players in the world. Anna Davis, who won Augusta National Women's Amateur, will be there, along with a handful of Curtis Cup players. Rachel Heck, Rose Zhang, Aline Crowder, and Benedetta Moresco. So some of the players that you may have seen play in the Curtis Cup, which the United States team played incredibly well. Jensen Castle, another one of those U.S. players that we're going to see this week at Evian. So good exposure for players that will be up and coming, the next superstars of the pro circuit, likely getting a preview here this week.
Speaking of the game's best amateurs, one familiar name stole the show at one of the most prestigious amateur events in the world. And a month ago, she had a microphone in her hand, and now she's doing the talking with her clubs.
Yeah, you're talking Emilia Migliaccio, who has worked for the Golf Channel over the last year. She won the North and South, which is one of the premier events on the women's amateur schedule. She finished her undergraduate degree, decided and announced at the Augusta National Women's Amateur 2 years ago, where she finished runner-up, that she would not be pursuing a professional career. But since then, has continued to keep up on her game, is planning on going back to Wake Forest in the fall to complete her COVID year eligibility and start grad school. But I'm wondering if maybe there's been a reset. Maybe we need to find out if she will pursue a professional career at one point or whether she'll continue to work for us in the end. But a great win for Emilia.
It's good to have options.
She writes books. She can broadcast. She can play. She's got options, right?
I can barely broadcast.
You and me both. We're still learning as we go here. Paige, great to see you. It always seems like old times when we chat. We'll talk to you soon. Enjoy the week.